Welcome to Walk With Me, a podcast where we discuss issues around the Christian faith and society. I am your host, Emmanuel. Today I'll be discussing about the need to pray for those in office, whether selected or elected leaders. The challenge for us is that we should always remember that these elected leaders are humans and that we should always remember to pray for them. Moreover, praying for our selected or elected leaders does not stop before or after the election or the selection process. It should be part of our daily lives. Now, why am I saying all this? I've been talking with many Christians and some people are so concerned or even disappointed about the last US election. In the sense that, on the one hand, they prayed that Trump should become the president. On the other hand, they were surprised about how he's behaving right now. I'm just using that as an example. People are often surprised that once these elected and selected leaders are in power, they tend to act differently than during the campaign and the promises that they made during the campaign. So people are just very concerned. People feel disappointed that after praying for a change, once people get into office, they change. In Canada and the rest of the world, people are concerned about tariffs and their effect on us, either as citizens of the United States who voted for Trump or those who are currently experiencing the effects of this tariff. This is not to endorse anybody or any political party or any person, but this is to emphasize the need to pray for those who are selected, whether these are the candidate we wanted or not. Some Christians pray for Trump. I was going through the internet, reading so many newspapers during the election process. People were praying, and now people are surprised about what is going on. Some people did not sleep on the election night, and some people rejoiced when he was elected, rightly so. But now people are surprised about the tariffs that is placed on countries. People are surprised about his desire to acquire Canada, Greenland, the Panama Canal, why he's currently just changing the traditional allies that the United States are known to be with. And people are asking, why? Most of us focus on events before and after the election. We often forget that these elected or selected leaders are humans. They are people. So if you've prayed for the selected and elected leaders only to find them to begin to act differently than what you believe they should or what most people think that they should, then what should we do? Some people are even afraid to have a discussion about him because they've praised him, they've supported him, and all of a sudden he's acting differently and they don't know how to respond to that. I want us to go into the word of the Lord and I want us to see in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that they may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I urge you. The priority of prayer shows that prayer is foundational as individual and as the collective body of Christ. Paul is begging. I am aware of people who've prayed during this election. I'm aware about living in Canada in a multicultural society. The chances are like you will definitely meet people from other countries that have made Canada their second home. And once in a while, they're always talking about the events in their home country. So I know people who are praying for the election process in their home country and in their adopted country. And I just want us to remember the need to pray does not end before, during, or after the election process. It carries on. The priority of prayer is very, very foundational to us as Christians. As a collective body of Christ, without prayer, which is a form of communication, a form of conversing, most importantly, listening to God, how can we function? I urge you, brethren, that all what? Supplication. Petition be made. These three words, supplication, petition, intercession, they are used to convey the word prayer. It shows a multifaceted approach that we should have when we pray. We are encouraged to engage in various forms of communication with God. To make your petition, that is to supplicate, is to make a specific request to God for our personal needs and for the needs of others. you are making a specific request to God. Yes, I can understand people will do this during election process. People will do this during when they are going through issues, whether in their daily lives, and that's it. We've often forgotten that prayer is like the air that we breathe, the very air that we breathe in. Without that, we cannot function. We breathe all the time. It's not sometimes. We breathe all the time. Prayer is very foundational to us as Christians. To supplicate for our leaders is to make specific requests to them. God, I commit this leader into your hand, this particular leader or this leadership group into your hands, that you would bless, that you will keep them, that they will live a godly life. And we will get to that point very soon. To make a specific request to God for our own personal or the need of others shows that we acknowledge our dependence on God. We are showing that God can provide for our individual needs and the needs of others. So for our leaders, how often do you supplicate for them? Is it just during the election process alone? Yes, I know people prayed. I know people fasted. People did vigils. But what happened after that? What happened when things are now acting contrarily to what we believe it should be? Remember, prayer is not only conversing with God, it's also listening to God. I always say, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. And that includes our prayer life as well. As we pray, most of us have forgotten the act of listening to God, active listening to God. So when we make supplications for our leaders, we pray to hear what is the plan of God concerning this leader. What are the acts that they are taking that we don't agree with or we agree with? And how is God using all this for his glory? If at all, this is the plan of God. These are the reasons why we make supplications to God, to speak to God and also to hear from him. The next that we are told to do is to pray. He said, let there be supplications or petition, prayer and intercession. Prayer, which is a general word that we use to show all forms of communication to God. Intercession, to intercede, is to intervene or to negotiate on behalf of others. There's a third point that Paul raised. First is supplication, which is making specific requests to God. The general form of prayer is the next one, which is prayer, that shows the general word to describe all forms of communication. The next is intercession. To intercede would be to negotiate. It's almost like a lawyer pleading on behalf of others. You are interceding on another person, and intercessory prayer shows love and concern for those on the path that we are making the intercession for. We don't have to like them as a person, but we are encouraged to pray for them because their actions and reactions will affect us one way or the other. And then we are told to make our request known to God through thanksgiving. Prayer, intercession, supplication, and thanksgiving. So in this context, what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude to God for who he is and for what he's done and for what he will continue to do. We are encouraged to always give thanks to God, even when we don't understand the situation, like the tariffs, like this threat of acquiring Canada and the threat to other parts of the world. How can we give thanks to God in such a situation? Well, this is it. When we make requests to God through thanksgiving, we are telling him that, God, we know that you can do all things for your glory. We know that the heart of the kings are in your hands and you can direct them with us whoever you will. I am recording today, March 10th. Twice, he has paused the tariffs. What do you think is going on? The tariffs won't help anybody. Maybe it will help in the long term. I don't know. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But the immediate effect seems to be negative. But he's paused twice. What do you think is going on? This is how we make our request known to God through thanksgiving, by saying, God, we know that you can touch his heart. We know that you can bring people to him that will advise him on what to do, rather than what he thinks he should do. And we thank you because you've answered our prayers. We thank you because you are a God that will not allow your people to suffer. That is how we pray through thanksgiving. Can you see how I made my request to God? Asking that God will guide him, but also thanking God because I believe he's heard my prayer. That is how we make supplication, intercession, prayer to God through thanksgiving. God, I thank you because you are God. I thank you because you have the best plan for us. And God, I commit our leaders into your hands. I pray that you will guide them and lead them in the best possible way. And I thank you because you've answered my prayer. You see how I started with thanksgiving? How I made my request known to God ended with thanksgiving. Remember, they said we should pray for all men. Sometimes it is hard for us to think that we should pray for all men, to believe that all men are dear to God, and to think that God does not want anybody to die, but wishes that all should come into repentance. It is very hard sometimes. I've heard many people talk, especially during the last US election. I've seen hatred, I've seen anger on both sides. And yet we are encouraged to pray for all men. It means we should pray for all people. Whether you like the leaders or not, in your home country, wherever you are listening to me, whether that is in Canada, whether that is in the United States, wherever you are, whether you like the elected leaders or not, the word of God should take preeminence, should supersede over every other thought and imaginations that we might have. The encouragement is to pray for all men. I know it is hard for us to think that they are dear to God. It is hard for us to think that they are humans created in the image and likeness of God. But let's humble ourselves. You've been showed mercy. Show the same mercy to others by praying for them. The next thing is the commandment to pray for kings and those in authority. The commandment reflects that we should pray for our leaders, because by doing so, we are asking God for his guidance and wisdom as they govern the people. Our prayers are not limited to our leaders in Christian communities alone. They extend to those who hold Christian beliefs and those who do not. All men cannot excuse some. We are to pray for all men, for all people, for all elected or selected leaders. Because laws that they are passing will affect us one way or the other. That we should pray for them, that God will guide them, that God will grant them wisdom as they govern us, that they may live a quiet and peaceful lifestyle. Like, one could argue that one's way of leadership reflects one's lifestyle. If one doesn't lead a quiet lifestyle as an individual, how then will this person lead the nation peacefully? But is there anything that God cannot do? No. No matter the background, no matter how the family setting might have been, as soon as they are selected or elected, please, let's pray that God will guide them, that they themselves will learn to live a quiet and peaceful life, because that is the only way that they can govern the country in a peaceable and a quiet manner. You cannot give what you don't have. So if someone came from a very troublesome family, and now this person has been voted or selected as a leader, how then is that possible that they will lead the nation or the group in a quiet and peaceable manner? Well, there's nothing God cannot do. We voted a person in one way or the other. The majority have spoken. Now this is a time to come together and to pray for them, whether they are the people that we wanted in the seat of power or not, that they should live a life of godliness. In a sense, godliness could mean a life devoted to God, a life that is respectable, honest, and committed to doing godly things. So I'm encouraging us today that when we feel that our government or the elected officials are embracing the term manifest destiny, which is a term that so many journalists and historians are using to describe what is going on in the United States in regards to Canada. We know about the War of 1812 that illustrates how the United States have always wanted to absorb Canada. So the talk about absorbing Canada is not new. And I keep telling people when I meet them, I say, don't be surprised. This is not just Trump that is doing this. People have done this over the years. He's just the next phase of the same book. He's just opening a different chapter of the same book. They have always wanted to acquire Canada for XYZ reasons. And what is manifest destiny? Manifest destiny is a belief that was coined in the 19th century that the United States has the divine and ordained right to control the entire continent of North America. The belief is apparent, meaning that it is manifest to all. There's no logic behind it. You just have to accept it. That is the way it is. And it is specific because it is their destiny to do so. How then do we work against such belief? We have to believe that we serve an all-powerful, all-knowing God. That even when we don't understand what is going on, even when the threat has always been there, that you have a more powerful nation that one way or the other want to take over your homeland. How then do you trust God? You can trust God because God is working everything for His glory. That might be a tough nut to crack, but you have to understand that God is working for His glory. Of course, God can do with or without our prayer, but when we pray to God, we make our request known to Him. The Bible said before we kneel, our Heavenly Father knows what we are about to ask. Then what is the point of prayer? A point of prayer is to develop one relationship with God, and then it's to show our dependence on God. Just like in this case of the manifest destiny. How do we walk around that? When you are living beside a more powerful nation that has always dreamt of taking over your land. I just want you to understand, with prayer, all things are possible. God can turn their heart against such an evil agenda. There is nothing God cannot do. So as I wrap up this episode, I will say, as Christians, let us pray for those in authority within and outside the Christian community, including those within and outside our continent. We can easily pick up the list of the names of the presidents of each nation and just pray over them. Second, I'm suggesting and I'm begging us, I'm urging you, as Paul did, that our prayer should include praying for wisdom so that they may lead us wisely. Thirdly, I'm also suggesting that we should pray that their decisions will positively impact the society and the world. Moreover, we should pray that our leaders will always remember that they are working for the people and not for themselves or for a small group of people. Furthermore, we should pray that they will surround themselves with advisors, people that will help them to live a humble, a teachable, a respectful, a peaceful lifestyle. We should pray that they will live an honest, transparent, and straightforward lifestyle. Finally, we should realize that we are not fighting against humans. There are powers that are unseen, that are walking over territories, that are walking for the kingdom of darkness. And it is our duty as Christians to pray against these powers that are making our leaders to act differently. Whether these leaders, selected or elected leaders, are aware of that or not, it is our duty to take hold, to stand in the gap, and to pray that God will give them the spiritual insight to be able to know that there are wars behind what they can see, so that they are living and practicing a spiritual lifestyle in order to help them and guide them in their decision. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for another moment. We just ask that you will please expound your word to us more than we have heard. Help us to see the need to pray for our selected and elected leaders before, during, after election, and to make this a pattern, to make this a lifestyle, to make this part of our prayer life. Please, we ask, help us not only to be interested in the election period, but always to pray for our leaders that they will live a quiet and godly lifestyle, that you will grant them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, that you will help them to surround themselves with people who will help them to make wise decisions that will affect the society and the world. Help us to always remember to pray for them. Help us to always remember that there are forces that are fighting against the spread of your kingdom here on earth. So help us to pray accordingly. We thank you and we bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me today as we discuss the need to pray for those in office, both selected and elected leaders.
For more information and resources, including original songs, books, articles, and podcasts, all written and composed by Emmanuel through God's grace, please be sure to visit our website at www.emmanuelisrael.com. That's www.emmanuelisrael.com.
As always, thank you for listening to Walk With Me. Be sure to come back next time for the next episode. Until then, may God bless and keep us all in His name. Amen. Don't forget, walk with me as I walk with Christ. Amen.